Open up your spiritual ears as he bring to us today the gospel of the grace of God. Deacon Howard Gavin.
Hallelujah. Church, say amen again. Amen. Again, we are going to go on a scriptural journey. Amen. But let us, amen, ask God's help and enablement before we even set out. Let us pray. Righteous Lord, our God and our Father, Lord, we just praise and bless you and thank you so much, Lord, for who we are in you, in Christ. We thank you, Lord God, for your goodness and grace in assembling us, Lord, these in our immediate presence and those, my God, who will look in, those you've already preordained, my Savior, Lord, to look in and to receive of this truth, my God, that you have placed in this place. As in your grace. Now we ask your blessing, Lord, on every heart, mind, and spirit, every ear, Lord. Lead and guide us, overrule and direct us, Lord God, to thy glory, for thy purpose, for this time in manifestation, according to that which you've eternally decreed. Yes. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We are yet dealing in the document of God's sovereignty in election to salvation. God's sovereignty in election to salvation. Today we're going to be really messaging from two areas. Certainly, God's sovereignty in election, we were chosen in Christ. And in addition to that, it behooves us to give information regarding right division of the scriptures so that we can be apprised of and become to believe, according to God, that we were elected unto salvation. We were chosen unto that which we cannot lose. But we have to have right division of the scriptures. Amen. To find and see those truths that the Holy Spirit acts upon and impress upon our spirit. That we don't go through life shaky thinking that we can lose that which was eternally given unto us. Our blessed eternal salvation. All right. God's sovereignty in election to salvation. Ella Liverman is our designated reader. We have a lot of scriptures today, and we're going to get started. God's sovereignty. Sovereignty means God's absolute right, his supreme authority in election, in choosing. The act or instance of choosing or choice in election to salvation. Salvation being in this dispensation, the dispensation of grace. Amen. We are elected or chosen to our eternal sonship relationship and position to God. Amen. In the body of Christ. It is also salvation, deliverance from sin and its consequences. Deliverance from sin. I know it doesn't look like it now. This is in manifestation, but in actualization, it already is. Deliverance from sin and its consequences, and preservation, preserved or delivered from harm, ruin, or ultimate loss. In regards to what it seemed like now. Seem like. And that's some of our problem, seeing instead of believing. And we are safe. We are eternally safe. All of God's people, whether they know it or not, if you belong to the Lord, you are eternally safe. Amen. Now, our main scriptures are Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, which comes from the mystery truth which the Lord gave unto the Apostle Paul to deliver to the Grace Church, amen, which is his body. And I want to begin reading from the document, God's Sovereignty in Election to Salvation, because I say it before, we are going to deliver this message in 2 realms. One is our eternal election and sonship positioning in Christ through grace, and the other is right division of the scriptures, amen, wherein we can find those truths directly spoken, given, and spoken unto us, amen, for our confidence, not for our salvation, but concerning our having been saved. Amen. You'll see as we go why I said not for our salvation. We don't get saved in time. Amen. We don't get saved when we grow up and hear the preacher preach. We were saved in eternity, and we will bring that out scripturally. Reading from the document, God's Sovereignty in Election to Salvation. Let's face it, this at best will be a class in the message in a class. Reading, the Grace Gospel Ministry believes and teaches the absolute, I'm speaking from the document, God's Sovereignty in Election. It's on our web site. You can find it in Doctrines of Salvation. Click on gracegospelministry.com, ministry.com, and amen, Doctrines of Salvation. Click on that, and this will be one of the documents that will show, and you can bring up God's Sovereignty in Election to Salvation. Again, reading. The Grace Gospel Ministry believes and teaches the absolute sovereignty of God in election of individuals to salvation. We believe that our designated by God, of course, assignments to everlasting life. We were designated unto everlasting life by God, our eternal heavenly spirit, heavenly Father, to everlasting life. We believe our designated assignments, everlasting life, were preordained or predetermined in eternity before the creation of the world. Before creation. We'll find that in our main text, Ephesians 1, 1 through 7. We fully realize that this doctrinal position, we know this, that this doctrinal position has been disputed and contested from the time our beloved apostle wrote his epistles unto the present. And we know that it will continue to be debated up to the moment our Lord Jesus comes for his church, the church which is his body. We are not the church in the wilderness. We are the church, the call out ones, the body of Christ. The writings herein, and this and other documents, are intended to allow the scriptures, the word of God, rightly exegeted. Herein lies one of the problems of God's people. We do not properly exegete the scriptures. It means to bring out the literal meaning, exegete, to dig out the literal meaning of the scriptures. And you can do that through the threefold method of doctrinal interpretation. Historically, what dispensation and what covenant we are in. Historically means what dispensation and what covenant we are in. God made seven dispensations, or outlined seven dispensations with seven covenants or agreements. And each one has this good message or gospel in them, and they also have their own federal head. Seven dispensations, beginning with innocence and conscience, and the federal head was Adam. And those covenants were either bilateral or unilateral. Bilateral mean God did his part, told his elect of his part, and required certain obedience from them of their part. So God's seven dispensations, seven covenants, are either bilateral or unilateral. Unilateral meaning God place all the incumbency or the fulfillment or the effectuation of the covenant, the agreement, the contract on him, and no responsibility on the elect. First were innocence and conscience. Federal head was Adam. Then human government, the Noahic covenant. It was a unilateral covenant. Even though God had Noah building the ark, amen, the Lord chose him and called him and his family into the ark, and the Lord shut them in. It was a unilateral covenant. Bilateral under Adam, innocence and conscience. They were given all the delights of the Garden of Eden, but the tree in the midst of the garden. In the day that you eat of that tree, God told Adam, you shall surely die. They ate of it, and God put them out of the garden because they did not fulfill their part of the covenant. It was a bilateral covenant between God and his elect, Adam and Eve. Again, human government under Noah, unilateral. Then under Abrahamic covenant came the dispensation of promise, and the Abrahamic covenant in it. It was also unilateral. Abraham was minding his business in Ur of the Chaldees when God called him out. Amen. From his kindred and family and said, come and go to a land that I will show you. I will bless you and you'll be a blessing, and I will, amen, bless nations in you. It was a unilateral covenant. Then law, bilateral. God did his part. The law was unto Israel. Israel. God did his part, but Israel were never able to accomplish or effectuate their part of the bilateral covenant or contract. Then the grace dispensation. Grace. We are in it now. The federal head of the grace dispensation, yes, is the Apostle Paul. Grace means no merit. All of the provision of the grace covenant, kindness, benevolence, goodwill, favor, no merit. All of it God placed upon himself. It is a unilateral covenant. We are in the grace dispensation right now. The dispensation is the administration of God or by God of an economy or house rule, and it occupies for a space of time. We've been in the grace covenant dispensation now for above 2,000 years. Hallelujah. And again, the federal head of the grace dispensation is the Apostle Paul, wherein the Lord Jesus Christ called him out into the desert of Arabia and revealed unto him the mystery. Our truth, our gospel, is out of and from the mystery, that which was hidden, and then in God's own choosing and manifestation in time, no one knew it. God revealed it to Paul for the grace church, which is Christ's body. No one else is the grace church. Not the church in the wilderness, was Israel. No one else is and make up the Grace Church and the body of Christ, but we that are in or called out in manifestation, called out in time, in the dispensation of grace, and we are having been placed in the body of Christ. No one else has that distinction. Not Adam and Eve, not Abraham, not Noah, and not those I'm going to call up next. Then we have the kingdom dispensation. The kingdom. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. The kingdom is still in the process of coming. It is on hold now. It is future. We are not in it. The kingdom which shall be manifested. They rejected the king, so the domain has been put on hold according to God. It was all according to God. And while the kingdom was put on hold, God ushered in that which he had kept a secret, the grace dispensation. And as I said, we've been in it now around 2,000 years. And after it had run its course in a period of space of time, God will return unto his elect Israel and will bring in, he will bring in the kingdom. They won't have to worry about it coming in. The Lord will bring in the kingdom where it will be ruled, amen, by a son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the fleshly manifestation and according to the Davidic covenant. Amen. Where God told in 2 Samuel 7, chapter around the 14th verse, he told the prophet to tell David that a son of his will reign over Israel forever. Those kings that came behind David, they didn't continue because of death. But this king will reign and rule over Israel forever. He is Israel's king, not ours. He is the head of the body, and we are the body of Christ. All right. Now, I've said it quite a bit. Now we are going to scripturally, amen, show or give instance of right division of the scriptures that we might know what the Lord is saying and to whom he has said it and is speaking to.
Yes.
The writings herein are intended, again, to allow the scriptures, the word of God, properly exegeted, bring out the literal meaning contextually, that is, go up a little bit and down a little bit if need be to get the thought conveyance. One of the worst things a person can do to another is to take what they are saying, that person is saying, out of context. So we go up a little in a scripture and down a little to get the thought conveyance.
Yes.
And historical, what dispensation and covenant are we in? We too often mix the messages. And grammatically, the Bible was not written in English. It was translated to the English language. According to God, it was written in the Greek language with all of its moods and tenses,
yes,
and the like. And so in order not to become saved or to be saved, but to know what the thought conveyance is, we take those three measures of scrutiny, what dispensation we're in and contract, and historically and contextually, if we have to go up and down to get the context of what's being said, and the grammar. We don't assign something a present tense if it's an aorist tense or perfect tense. Aorist tense is a completed action. Perfect tense is a completed action with ongoing results right down to the present. Whenever the present is, if it was 1841, that was the present. God's dealing went right down to that present. Amen.
Yes.
So, properly exegeted and rightly divided word of God to convey the truth in love. We pray that God will give illumination, that is light, enlightenment, and elucidation, that which is made clear, according to His will, to His people, of course. We only ask that God's people, hear me, we are speaking to God's people, in whom and to whom there is no condemnation. None.
Amen.
No condemnation to those that belong to Christ. Mm-hmm. Nada.
Thank God.
Don't matter what you have done. But nothing is right but righteousness. The Lord has to overrule this. Else we all would be a lost ball.
Glory to God.
There's nothing right but righteousness. And the Lord, we pray God, cause us, enable us to identify with who we are in righteousness and a righteous walk. If we are walking uncircumspectly or unrighteously, God is able to give correction and enlightenment. And cause us, and maturation to cause us in identification.
Yes.
To act like who we are and whose we are. God is able. Amen.
Thank God.
So we only ask that God's people will read our commentary of the following verses in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, as well as other supporting scriptures, with an open heart, and give all the praise and credit to Him, God, for His magnificent deeds. There is no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus, God's people. Let it be plain who we are speaking to and what we are affirming scripturally. So no one can say that those people think that they are the only ones saved. No, God has given us, among others, enlightenment of the mystery, our truth, for the grace dispensation that we have been in for about 2,000 years,
yes,
to deliver to His people,
yes,
for their enlightenment,
yes,
not for your salvation.
Yes.
Even though you've done many things to consider yourself saved, walked down, shook the preacher's hand, got on the mourner's bench, tarried, repeated the sinner's prayer. Okay, that is the course that the Lord brought you. But you were saved, as we will scripturally see, before the foundation of the world, according to the grace scriptures. Now, the three areas, the three dispensations and covenants that God's people get most mixed up are law, kingdom, and grace. They are three distinct and different dispensations. They have three distinct and different gospels or good messages. They have three different federal heads that the truth was primarily given unto for the elect, the other elect of that dispensation. The first one we are going to deal with, that is quite regularly alluded to in the grace dispensation, is law. It is commonly alluded to and tried to be preached and propagated to God's people, but it is the dispensation of the law. We are in the grace dispensation, as we shall see. Turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 19, and we are going to see what thus saith God's word regarding the dispensation of the law. And what scriptures do I have marked there, Elder? Exodus chapter 19.
19, 1 through 8.
I'm sorry, I'm in Genesis. Give me a sec. Hallelujah. Exodus, turn with me to Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 through 8. Elder, read freely.
Exodus chapter 19, verse 1 through 8, beginning with the first verse.
Until we get down to verse 3, read freely.
Okay. Exodus 19, in the third month. When the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they unto the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. Verse 3. And Moses went up
to God,
and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob.
Now this is where I jump in and finish that, Elder.
And tell the children of Israel.
The Lord said unto Moses, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob. All these Israelites bring from Jacob. Jacob's 12 sons and the 12, hence the 12 tribes of Israel. And thus shalt thou tell the children of Israel. Elder, read on. What would he have them tell the children of Israel?
Verse 4. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself.
Yes.
Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice.
Stop. What's that two-letter word again, Elder?
If.
If. We said it was a conditional covenant, the law. If. Meaning there's a contrary. If ye will obey my voice. This is a unilateral covenant between the Lord and his chosen people, Israel. The law is unto Israel. Paul wrote, we are not under the law, but under grace. Start with verse 5 again, Elder, and I'll try to control myself. Amen. Help me, Holy Spirit.
Verse 5. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people.
I can't do it. If you do that, then, if they kept the covenant and obeyed his voice, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, saith the Lord. Read on, Elder.
And for all the earth is mine.
Get this next part, audience.
Verse 6.
All over the earth that hears this message.
And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests.
A kingdom of priests. Priests serve, priests minister message, and the like. A kingdom of priests. Yes, Elder?
And an holy nation.
And an holy nation. We, the church, are not a kingdom of priests. We are not a holy nation, even though we minister the word of God. We are members of Christ's body. The church, which is his body. Read on, Ellen.
These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel.
There it is again. The children of Israel. The law is unto Israel. Go ahead and finish that up, Ellen.
Verse 7. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him.
Yes. All right. Next, Elder.
Verse 8. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do.
Right.
And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord.
But don't frown at them. We couldn't keep it either. We sin daily. Hallelujah. Either in commission or omission. The next dispensation, and gospel truth, truth, as was the law, God's truth for and to Israel, the next gospel, a good message, truth, it, that we get mixed up with our truth is the kingdom gospel and message. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. Turn there with me. And let's identify the kingdom and the gospel of it. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2, first elder. Let's see who are propagating the gospel of the kingdom.
Matthew chapter 3, beginning with the first verse.
All right.
In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist preached the gospel of the kingdom. Let's see who else preach the gospel of the kingdom. Turn with me now to Matthew chapter 4, verse 12 and verse 17. Matthew, the very next chapter, chapter 4, verses 12 and 17. And elder, read freely.
Matthew 4, verse 17. From that time.
Start with verse 12 so we get a bearing on the
Matthew
context.
Four, beginning with the 12th verse. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed unto Galilee.
He went into the region of Galilee after John was cast in prison. Verse 17. Here's what he was doing in Galilee. Verse 17, elder.
From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say,
yes,
repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Repent, same message. They are consistent. All the writers that deliver the kingdom message, the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, although John has some further revelation that the Lord gave unto him, and the apostle James and Peter and John, their messages are consistent because they are under the same or regarding the same dispensation and covenant. Our Lord Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom. So when you say that I want to obey the words in red, you're talking about obedience to the gospel of the kingdom, which its demands are more stringent than the law. Now, let's give a sampling, elder. Let's give a sampling of the difference between the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of the grace of God. One difference in the law is that the Lord told Israel, if it swim in the water and do not have scales but have fins, do not eat it. It's an abomination unto you, catfish. And I know an ethnicity that loves catfish. The Lord said also, if it part the hoof and do not chew the cud, it is an abomination unto you, swine, barbecue. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, if it's sold in the meat market, you can eat it. Different messages to different of God's elect. Let's give a sampling of the kingdom gospel as opposed to the gospel of the grace of God in the grace or present dispensation, the grace dispensation. Ella, read first from Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 through 15.
Matthew chapter 6,
verses 14 and 15.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15?
Yes, sir. Now this, in some of your Bibles, is in red. These are the words of Jesus. All right, read, Elder.
For if ye forgive men their trespasses.
For if, it's a bilateral covenant. The Lord will bring the implementation of the kingdom, the righteousness. He will cause them to know him and abide in a righteous walk. All right? Because no one could do it of themselves. If ye forgive men their trespasses,
your heavenly Father will also forgive you.
These are the words of Christ. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. And verse 15.
But if ye forgive not men their trespasses.
If ye forgive not men their trespasses, what?
Neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Neither. Any word, way you want to pronounce it. Will your Father forgive your trespasses? The Lord in the kingdom will implement righteousness and cause a righteous walk in dealing with one another. Amen. Then they'll be able, if the brother bid them to go a mile, they go twain. Hallelujah, without fear of being robbed or accosted or subjected to any harm. Now, that's a sampling of the kingdom gospel, which John the Baptist, our Lord Jesus, and now let's go to Matthew chapter 10 and see who else preached this truth. Matthew chapter 10, beginning verse 1, Elder. Matthew chapter 10, beginning verse 1. Turn with me.
Matthew chapter 10, beginning with the first verse.
Yes.
And when he had called unto him the 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease.
Who did he give that power to? The 12 disciples. This is the kingdom gospel and Christ's operation in it. All right. Read on, Elder.
Verse 2.
Let's see who they are.
Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter. And Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee. And John, his brother. Verse 3. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew the publican. James, the son of Alphaeus. And Lebrius, whose surname was Thaddeus. Verse 4. Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him.
My God. Judas was also one of the 12. And let's see if he left Judas at home or he went preaching with them. Read on, Elder.
Verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent
Judas
forth
also? Judas
and commanded
also.
Them.
He sent forth, commanded.
He commanded them, saying, go unto the way of the Gentiles.
Go not.
Go not. Don't want to leave that. Go not.
Go not.
Unto the way of the Gentiles.
Unto the way of the Gentiles.
And unto any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not.
Remember now, the Lord told Abraham, all nations of the earth, nations of the earth shall be blessed in thee. The Gentiles, regarding the nations, will be blessed in the blessings of Israel. That is not the church, us, the nations. We are Gentiles, yes, most of us. But we are not according to that Abrahamic covenant. Our truth is mystery. It was still kept a secret by God until he revealed it to the Apostle Paul. All right. Read on, Elder. But go rather to who?
But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
And as you go,
preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
We are not looking for the kingdom of heaven. We're looking for the Lord to take us out. It's called the rapture. Amen. It's not the it's the appearing, not the second coming. The Lord will not come to the earth to snatch us out. Hallelujah. He will come in the appear. All right, the second coming, he will come to deliver Israel and to set up 1,000 years of righteous reign on the earth according to the Davidic covenant and other covenant and prophecies. All right, read on, Elder.
Go preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 8.
And do what?
Heal the sick.
Cleanse the lepers.
Raise the dead.
Cast out devils.
Freely you have received.
Freely give.
Provide neither gold, yes, nor silver, mm-hmm, nor brass in your purses.
Yes.
Nor strip for your journey. Neither two coats, neither shoes, mm-hmm, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat.
Amen. And many of God's people feel like this is their empowerment to heal and the like. The Apostle Paul asked the Lord 3 times to take an infirmity from him, and the Lord would not. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. It's up to God whether he heals or not heal. We are eternally, not temporarily, eternally positioned, sun position in the masculine gender, sun position in the body of Christ. Eternally, heal or not, sick or almost gone, we are actually eternally in Christ Jesus. Actually. Oops.
Amen.
Let me give these definitions. Actualization. It means to bring into being or existence. It means to cause to exist and existing as a fact or real. To bring a thing that was not into existence. The next phrase I want you to pay attention to is manifestation. You'll hear these terms from this ministry and this pulpit regularly. Actualization, bringing into existence. Everything is through God having said it. One saying, all. Hebrews 11:3. One saying. That word is not logos word. It is remati saying. In a singular. The Lord spoke everything into existence. Hebrews 11:3. All the ages. All the folk in them. All the incidents in them. Remember, creation bringing some, he the creator bringing something into being that was not. He's the creator. By a saying, the Lord created the ages so that the things which are did not come out of things being seen. It came out of God speaking it. One word, all. You can talk all night and won't get nothing accomplished. Or me. But God is unlimited in everything. We are unlimited in nothing in this venue. We are limited in everything.
Amen.
Everything.
Yes.
You can start with trying to hold your breath. You go over a certain amount of minutes and I'm going to come look at you.
Glory. Thank God.
Now, the next one that is confused is the grace dispensation, gospel, and covenant or contract. Elder, turn with me to Acts chapter 20, verse 21 through 24. And we are going to see who spoke, who it was given to preach and speak the grace doctrine and to deliver the grace contract and message. Acts 20, 21 through 24. A lot of folk like to go to Acts for doctrine. Let's go here for information. Acts 20.
Acts chapter 20.
Uh-huh.
Verse 21 through 24.
All right, read it, Elder.
Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks.
This is Paul speaking.
Repentance toward God.
20, 21, yes.
And faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
Now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there.
Where the apostles were based, the 12 apostles of Christ, yes, where they were based, basically.
Say that the Holy Ghost witness in every city.
This is all I know, that the Holy Ghost witness in every city.
Saying that bonds and afflictions abide me.
Amen. And he was afflicted and bound, stayed in and out of jail. All right, but he had the unction of the Lord upon him. And so do you. When you are led to do certain things according to God and according to Christ and righteousness and help and encouragement, the Lord is upon you. He is causing you to identify with who you are. All right, read on, Ella.
Verse 24, but none of these things move me.
None of them.
Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy.
Finish my course with joy.
And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus.
The ministry I received came from where?
The Lord Jesus.
From who?
The Lord Jesus.
From the Lord Jesus to speak what?
To testify of the gospel of the grace of God.
The gospel of the grace of God. Paul is the federal head of the grace dispensation. The Lord Jesus himself did not minister the gospel of grace. He left it unto Paul, who formerly was Saul and persecuting the church. How much more in magnifying the grace of God if he take or as he took one that was totally against him in his actions and caused him to be totally in submission to him in his service. Glory to God. Oh, to the most rambunctious of us. You know, problem for God. The most wayward of us. You know, issue a problem to God. Hallelujah. Now, further in the grace dispensation, but let me go with me, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I want to get to Ephesians chapter 3 to further. Let's go there. Ephesians chapter 3, Ella. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, since we are on the thought conveyance. Ephesians chapter 3, and Ella, we are going to go to the interlinear Greek text in this. The interlinear Greek text is from the older manuscripts, and we use it because it is closer in conveyance to the original writings. And the Greek word is above the English word, so that the writer and compiler of it is held more closely to accuracy than in some of the other translations. In the King James Version, even though we use it, many use it, it is the most popular. We have a lot of words that are in italics, and there's also some editing words that were added that were not in the older manuscripts. In italics means it means that the word is a foreign word. That's what italics mean. And you'll find them throughout in the King James Version. A foreign word. A word that was inserted by the translators according to their preconceived doctrinal opinions that is not in the original text. So, from the interlinear Greek text, Ella read. Begin verse 1.
Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, interlinear Greek text. Of this, by reason of our Paul,
Paul,
the prisoner of Christ, Jesus, on behalf of you, the nations,
or Gentiles. A prisoner of Jesus Christ, here he is in the Ephesian jail when he wrote this, but he considered himself more a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Amen. You are in a body going through all the things, work, problems, frustrations, shortcomings yeah. with yourself, shortcomings and others coming down on you and everything, but you are still more who you are in the body of Christ, which is eternal, than you are in these bodies going through all sorts of things every day, which is temporary at best. And it's all according to God. All right. Verse 2, Elder. Come on down.
Verse 2. If indeed you heard the stewardship of the grace of God.
Or stewardship or dispensation. If indeed you heard, and that's what we call an aorist tense. Aorist tense is a completed action. When was it completed? It was always completed. And the only place you can have an always completed tense or anything is in eternity. This is what God has pre or foreordained that they would hear this. And same with you and I. If you have heard of the stewardship of dispensation of the what?
Of the grace of God.
The dispensation of the grace of God, which Paul is over as a federal head. The mystery truth of the gospel of the grace of God was given to Paul and is wrought out in his 14 epistles, Romans to Hebrews.
Amen.
Read on, Elder.
Given to me for you.
Given to me, Paul says, for you, you Gentiles, not nations, but individuals. Read, Elder.
That by way of revelation.
By way of revelation.
Was made known to me.
By the Lord Jesus Christ, as he called him to the desert of Arabia, was made known to me what?
The mystery.
The mystery, the truth that the Lord had hidden from ages and from generations until he revealed it to the Apostle Paul for the grace church, which is Christ's body. This is our truth, beloved. We go into other portions of the Bible for corroboration, but for direction, we come to the mystery truth, the gospel of the grace of God, which we can take the gloves off for direction and belief in the way that we ought to walk or think. That's why I went through those things, describing the differences in the kingdom gospel and the law, as opposed to the gospel of the grace of God. Grace means no merit. It's an unconditional covenant. God put all the responsibility and onus on him and none on his beloved.
Yes.
That's what grace means. You're never out of grace. In your worst day, you're never out of the grace of God. This is the dispensation of grace. God is displaying it unto his beloved, and he would have it propagated and taught and shown and lived and believed. Hallelujah. And shared. Read on, Elder.
Verse 3, that by way of revelation was made known to me the mystery as I previously wrote in brief. Verse 4.
Previously wrote in brief. Read.
As to which ye can reading to realize the understanding of me.
Where I get this and how I understand this.
In the mystery of Christ.
In the mystery of Christ. He didn't get this in the school under Gamaliel. He got this doctrine, this gospel, straight from the Lord Jesus to give straight to the grace church, which is Christ's body.
I hear you.
Hallelujah. Read on, Elder. All right.
Verse 5.
The mystery
which
of Christ.
Which
in other generations.
Not
no,
was made known to the sons of men.
Was not made known to the sons of men.
As now it was revealed. To the holy apostles.
And I'm talking about the 12. Paul is an apostle. Barnabas was an apostle. And others. Silas and others were prophets. Read the book of Acts, the apostles, Barnabas and Saul, or Paul. Hallelujah. The grace apostles. Peter and them did not know this. because it was not given unto them. They knew the gospel of the kingdom that the Lord Jesus taught them and shared with them for 3 years or 3.5 years. He walked with them.
Amen.
Our Lord did not share with them the gospel of the grace of God. They were his elect, but they were assigned to another placement. We are positioned and placed in the body of Christ. No one else is, but we in the grace dispensation. That's what the mystery is telling us. They are inhabitants of the New Jerusalem and the eternal earthly kingdom, which is glorious. But you are the body of the absolute Lord of all creation, which excels in glory. Nothing touches it. Nothing touches who we are in Christ.
Glory to God.
With all of our problems and faults, shortcomings, and the like, in this, in the created entity of time, you were saved for you. You were put place in here in bodies. We were placed here to testify. In case I don't get to it, Ephesians 1 and 4 says, we were chosen in him. That word chosen is a verb in the aorist tense in the middle voice. Middle voice meaning the subject, the Lord Jesus, or God acting upon himself. This is what the Lord has done. We were chosen in him before. What does before mean? In front of? Above, before the creation, the foundational creation of the world, we were already picked out. And for order for you to be picked out, you have to be an entity. You are not just in the mind of God. Mm-hmm. Else it would not be a verbal expression. Verb is an action word. He chose us, like we are going to do in a couple of 2 or 3 months in the presidential elections in the United States of America. We're not going to sit home and think about who we want. Most of us not. We're going to act, most of us, and go and choose the next president of the United States of America in manifestation and testimony. But in actualization, that which is real, which God spoke everything into existence with one saying,
glory to God.
The president is already in, whoever he or she may be. The ages were created by a saying. Isn't this an age? It's not the Iron Age or the other ages that we've read about in school, but it's an age. The ages were created by a saying of God. So that the things being appearing do not come out of the things being seen. They come out of the saying, a saying of God. Hebrews 11 and 3. Read on, Ella. Sorry.
Ephesians chapter 3, verse 5.
Yes.
Which in other ages not was made known to the sons of men.
This mystery
was as
not
now
made
it was
known.
Revealed. To the holy apostles of him,
mm-hmm.
and the prophets in the spirit.
In spirit. Uh-huh. Our actual essence, actualized essence is spirit. Our being in the body of Christ is not you in your body and flesh, but in spirit.
Oh, have mercy.
Our actual essence. The churches and we sharing in and encouraging one another is manifestation or testimony of the actual. But the God also assigned this to us. That's why the infighting and this and that. Alright, read on, Ella.
Verse 6.
For his purpose he assigned it. 6.
To be the nation's joint heirs,
uh-huh.
and a joint body,
uh-huh.
and joint sharers of the promise in Christ
joint.
Jesus through the gospel.
Joint sharers. Where? In Christ. Through the gospel. Now, Ella, I want you to begin at through the gospel and don't hesitate. Go right into verse 7. Start with those words. Through the gospel, without hesitation, go right into the next verse.
Through the gospel of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God.
Thank you, Ella. through the gospel, Paul says, of which I became a minister, is this truth given and ministered and received from the Lord Jesus. Paul preached, we went through it, Acts. Paul ministered the gospel of the grace of God. He presided over the dispensation of the grace of God. The contract of grace was given unto him and designated in the truth that was assigned to him to propagate. The gospel of which I was made a minister, not Peter, James, and John. They were kingdom apostles. They preached the kingdom gospel. That's why we went through all those writings. All right, read, Ellen. Is that it? Was that verse 7?
Yes.
Okay, go to verse 8.
To me, the lesser of all the saints,
mm-hmm.
was given this grace. The nations to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ.
The untrackable riches of Christ, because the Lord had it as a secret. That's why it was never heard of. You won't find it from Genesis all the way to John. And you won't find it in the first 8 chapters of the book of Acts, 7 or 8 chapters of the book of Acts. When Paul came on the scene, it started to be manifested in measure. After he was knocked off his beast, amen. He preached it in elementary status. But eventually he was given full-blown revelation and illumination through revelation of the mystery truth. I'm not... Ella, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, and I just want you to read. I want you to read verses 1 through 1, Ella?
That was chapter 3? Yeah.
Go to Ephesians chapter 1 and just read freely verses 1, and I'll stop you.
Ephesians 1:1.
Mm-hmm. Read 1 and 2 from the King James. 1 and 2 from the King James. And then begin 3 from the Interlinear.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, King James,
mm-hmm.
translation.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 2. Grace to you. And peace from God our Father,
mm-hmm.
and the Lord Jesus Christ.
From whom it matters. Uh-huh.
Verse 3 in the Interlinear Greek.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us, mm-hmm. Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
the having blessed us with every blessing spiritual in the heavenlies in Christ.
That's where our blessings are. The Lord bless Thank us God. In measure down here
yes.
for his purpose. But the actual of our blessings, that verb is actually each and every, because it's singular. Each and every blessing spiritual in the heavenlies in Christ is ours. All right? Israel and those nations joined to her, they would be blessed in the new eternal earth with earthly blessings. Ours are heavenly spiritual, like our Father and like our positioning in the body of Christ. Heavenly, eternal, spiritual. Amen. All right, read on, Ella. Verse 4.
According,
mm-hmm.
as he chose us in him,
mm-hmm.
before. Foundation of world.
Before creation of world.
To be us holy and unblemished.
Being us holy or separated unto him. And
before him in love. Before him.
No sin sticking to us. We are sinners while we're in this flesh. But in our actualized essence, which is spiritual, our actual essence is spiritual, not physical, as members of the body of Christ. Uh-huh. No sin. No sin there. Mm-hmm. Finish it, Ella.
Before him in love,
having predestinated us eternally, uh-huh.
to adoption of sons
adoption of
through
sons,
Jesus Christ,
or sonship, positioning us
to him according to the good pleasure of the will of him.
Through Jesus Christ, to him according to the good pleasure of the will of him. This is all God's doing.
To praise of glory.
Praise
of the grace of him.
Of glory of the grace of him.
Of which he favored us.
Of which he favored us. Having been loved. Amen. Everything regarding us in our positioning in Christ, our eternal secure positioning in Christ, amen, is from the venue of eternity.
Yes.
Our actualized essence is eternal spirit. I know it does not look like it now, especially when it's bill paying time. I know it doesn't look like it now, especially when folk on the street or where you work are giving you a hard time. But the actual essence, we go with God's word and not by what we see or the things around us. God's word says that we have been blessed in each and every blessing spiritual. We are members of the body of Christ, and no harm, nothing can destroy, amen, the body of Christ of which we are. So be encouraged, saints. The Lord is our help. He's our life. He's our all and all. And we are already glorified. It just hasn't been manifested to us. We are already glorified in him. It will manifest. Keep on believing in Jesus as he enables you. God bless you.
Amen.